Not many people would believe this, but it's true. And it happened the day before our wedding. My now husband and I had been dating and living together for years, and also wanted to visit his family on the other side of the country. So we decided to officially tie the knot in Vegas. We set our date for the end of August, and started planning which venue to get married at, and how we were going to spend the rest of our short vacation with close family and friends that were joining us there at Mandalay Bay. I remember the months leading up to our departure. There were numerous alarming instances of airline issues, and it had been close to a decade since I was even on an airplane. In order to ease my fears and concerns, we made morbid jokes about our flights and laughed together about it. I mean, what are the odds anyways? Especially on our way to our wedding. Well, on that morning, we were already met with issues. We had no idea that we wouldn't even be sitting together. We boarded the first plane in separate groups and made sure that didn't happen again. So, we paid a fee to make sure that on the connecting flight, we would have seats side by side. About 30 minutes or so into the connecting flight from Chicago, my fiancé and I clicked through the in-flight movies, deciding on Dune. We shared earbuds as we started the movie on my phone and curled into each other. I remember we both looked at each other. We started to hear what sounded like a group of people yelling somewhere behind us. At first, I thought maybe a fight had broken out on the plane or something. As we turned, I smelled something burning, and then we saw the billowing smoke filling the inside of the cabin. It was truly stuff of nightmares. I can't describe how helpless I felt, trapped on that packed plane high up in the air. In my mind, I was panicking, wondering if we were experiencing a terrorist attack. It was such an overwhelming situation. My heartbeat was pulsing in my ears as we saw the people in the third row behind us clamoring over themselves to get out of their seats. People were shouting. Everyone was turned, staring, some were standing. The flight attendants were hurriedly running up and down the aisle. It felt like time stood still. I had the passing thought that this was it. I remember my wonderful now husband gripping my hand, telling me that everything is going to be all right. His voice sounded muffled, almost as if we were underwater. All I could do was try to remain calm and focus on my breathing. There were already too many people panicking. Then, during all of this, a wave of something otherworldly washed over me, reassuring me that this wasn't the end. The moment quickened, and it was like time caught up. The flight attendants had smothered the fire, and the pilot announced that we were making an emergency landing in Denver. We were all in shock when we landed. Wide-eyed and shaken up, I'm sure none of us will ever forget that flight. We went on to get married that following afternoon in Vegas, and have been happily married since. It seems like an unbelievable story. But that's how our lives have been, intersecting with close calls and strange events. But now we have each other to experience them together. Neither of us want to get back on a plane, but what are you supposed to do? It's hard to put into words the dread that I feel any time I see news of airline disasters, or hear a loud plane fly over our house, let alone being forced to fly when that's the only option. It always takes me back to that terrifying time, when we almost didn't make it to our final destination.
Hello? Operator? Is anyone there?
Name's Loretta Sable. Just moved here from Junction City. I've only been in town a few months, and I've come to find out that things are rather strange around here. You see, it started after those first few weeks. Mrs. Julie advised that I take the next customer that day. It had been slow starting out, not many passers in our area, which was surprising because I had read that the Nevada Territory was the place to be for young gals. Figured maybe I had just started at a slow time of the year, but I could see that the tiny town was struggling, just like mine did back home. Mrs. Julie and the people of the town were very welcoming and promised me that it was only a short period of time before the town would be bustling again. I spent most of my time mending gowns upstairs, and at night waiting on the porch or watching the man tending the bar, watering down the remaining liquor behind the counter. Then it happened. A pair of rough-looking bounty hunters came into town. A tiny bell jingled inside, having been tugged by the nearby shop, and it went down the line, alerting the townspeople of newcomers. We took our spots, creating the illusion of a flourishing town, and to make them feel more welcome to spend their money, the two men hitched their horses and began to stomp inside the saloon. I took my place next to the piano by the poker table. The shopkeepers and townsfolk nearby had snuck in through the back, taking their places around the bar and the poker table. Mrs. Julie watched from the staircase, guiding a natural progression of ladies from the top floor, while they cleared out two of the rooms upstairs. I overheard the more aggressive of the two men warn the bartender of none of that watered-down stuff. He gruffly pounded the shot before making his way to the poker table. He began to sit, pulling back the edge of his duster, revealing a Colt side hammer revolver. As he sat, he smoothly withdrew the pistol and placed it on the table. You could see the rest of the people at the table stiffen. "Don't worry, darlin'," was all he said, looking up at me, my eyes fixed on the pistol. I anxiously watched the other man take the last seat available, across from him at the round poker table. The other saloon ladies quickly swooped in, sitting on their laps and making sure the men at the table were drinking a steady share of the hard liquor. The guests always got the stronger liquor, helping them to let loose and get sloppy with their money. They had a system. The seasoned ones would subtly motion to whoever was standing closest to the piano. He knew to hit certain keys, rigging the poker plays for the big pots here and there. The man sitting opposite to the piano began to change his expression. His eyes read suspicious when Mrs. Julie hurried over to top them off with another round of the stronger booze. He shoved the lady off his lap, standing and demanding to know what the deal was and why the piano player kept hitting the wrong notes. The situation spiraled out of control when the last that I remember was him raising his revolver in my direction. When I awoke what seemed like days later, I was standing in the same position next to the piano, and everyone was gone. The saloon was in terrible condition. Dust and cobwebs covered the interior. The roof was caving in. Piano keys laid strewn all over the floor. Occasionally, I see men in interesting attire with lights on their heads wandering through the building. I try to talk to them, but they just pass through me. It's so cold here.